And so today I am going to make sure that next time I come, you will remember this sermon. And my sermon is that don't just sit there. And Elijah was a man, an ordinary man. The Bible has just told us. Just like who? Just like you and I. So, there's a story that is told about a church that was leaking in Ghana. Bad leak. So the pastor says, next Sunday, we are going to raise money to fix the roof. So I want you to bring anything depending on what you do. The story goes, there was a hardware guy, there was somebody who sold fruits, if you sold tomatoes, depending on your professional, bring whatever you can. And those of you that write big checks like Lucas, bring your checks. So Sunday came, and everybody is coming to church with their bags, with their goats. You know, that's how we do it in Kenya. With everything that they could bring. And as everybody walked at the door, the main door, there was a coffin. And everybody was like, is there a funeral today? Who died? Blah, blah, blah. So the fundraising starts. Everybody brings their things here. The writers of check write checks. And then at the corner, when everything settles, there's this old man who stands up and goes out and drags the coffin all the way to the front and says, we were told to bring what we can. This is what I do. And I'm donating it to the pastor. The pastor did not even let him finish. He said, I am buying it for 10,000 for the women leader. The woman leader said, no, I'm buying it for the man leader for 30,000. Somebody else shot up at the corner and said, no, I'm buying it for the youth leader. They went back and forth. And then an old man, rich old man, stood up and said, I am buying this coffin for 100,000 and I'm giving it back to the coffin maker. 100,000. Coffin guy dragged his coffin back to his shop. He ended up being the man who gave more because he used what he had. And I'm here to remind you that Elijah was an ordinary man, just like you and I. And also, I don't want you to just sit there. Let's all stand. We come to this fellowship, right? You are here because you come. And I know you've claimed your pew, right? Where you are sitting, Ignatius, I think even the last time I was here, you were seated there. So what I want you to pick up all your belongings, everybody. Don't move, don't go anywhere. Just pick up your belongings and listen to me. Everybody that is seated on this side, okay? I want all of you to move to that side. You guys on that side, move here. Ignatius and everybody on that side, and you, Cairo, and everybody, move to that side. Once I'm done with you, the middle people, you are in trouble. I told you, you will never forget this. I'm not going to keep you here for long. But Elijah was a man, an ordinary what? Man, just like you and I. And there's something that happened in the life of Elijah. I'm going to spare you because you have to make me sound good. And there are two things that happened in the scripture two incidences that happened there. Elijah is told by God to move twice. The Bible just told us that God came to Elijah and told him, go and face Ahab and tell him that there will be no rain. And Elijah came and said, God gives a message. Elijah came and said, as long as my God lives, there will be no rain until I say so. And God, sometimes when God gives you messages, you need to, you know, sometimes I reason with Elijah. And if you listen and look in the Bible, Elijah, to me, appears like a Maasai. In fact, the Bible, when Bible says that he was where? He was from where? I told you, you have to talk to me. He was from Tishbe. That makes him a Tishbite. This land of Tishbe was a place that was very hilly and very rocky. And so if you've seen the pictures, even in the movies that we have been acted, Elijah appears like a guy, a Maasai with just a shuka, very, very easy guy. And every message that Elijah brought was trouble. He appears a little bit arrogant. He doesn't appear like Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He doesn't appear like Isaiah, who said, in the year when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Elijah comes with a spear. He's just like Denzel, you saw him talking a language that I'm not going to apologize for because we are ordinary people. And Elijah appears like that, a very rough guy. Because God told him to move. And when he was told to move, and here he says, there will be no rain until I do what? He says until, he didn't even say until the Lord. He said until I say so. I don't think he thought, or he even took time to process what was going to happen to him. You know, it's like you living here in Baltimore, and then we understand that, oh, the city is going to be closed. And you are given that responsibility to go and make that announcement. There will be, instead of you trying to figure out, now that everything is going to be closed, you know, I'm running to the store like we do in Atlanta when it snows an inch and we go get milk and bread. But Elijah makes the announcement and then sits there. And then God comes and tells him, move. Tells him, go sit at the brook and I will provide for you. You know, God does a lot of interesting things with Elijah. He provides, the Bible told us, he provided what? Bread, meat, he drank from the brook. So what has Elijah done? Elijah has listened to his GPS, and his GPS has told him, you have arrived. Come on. This guy is getting meat, bread. Oh, he can't choke. He has everything. And you know, like Elijah, we've come to this fellowship the last 20 years. God has provided. And God has been faithful. And God has been so good that we are able to raise this kind of money. And so we have what? We have arrived. That's why we have come, and everybody has a place that they sit. We have claimed pews. Lucas, pop. Ignatius, pop. Patricia, hopper. Mama Patricia, over there. Jose, always at the back. Everybody has a place. The last time I was here, you were here and you were seated on that side. I can remember you very well. Everybody has claimed a pew because we arrived. I'm reminded of a story of this old man. And we do that everywhere we go. We go to churches. If you're not in church on Sunday, we don't need to find you. Angalia Kitty, you did not come because we are missing you at your. So this old man came regularly, and he had a spot where he sat. And the youth noticed that this Muzee always sleeps. When the pastor starts preaching, his work is to sleep. The kid said, "We are going to teach him a lesson. He's not going to sleep anymore." You know how we preachers preach and then we pause? A young man sat next to the man intentionally and nudged him. He'd been told to pray. He stood up and prayed and thanked God for the sermon. Because he had arrived. Everybody knew where he sat. Everybody knew what he did when he came to church because he was there comfortably. I say God told Elijah to move twice. Now, the Bible just told us, as we continue, that Elijah is being served. fact, it is this morning that Lucas and I were talking about eating a very good stew that used to be made in Kenya. Meat stew, natumboga, very, very well made, and then you eat that with a toasty bread. You know, what was that bread we used to eat in Kenya? Buffalo. Eriot. You know, you remember that? Now I want you to see Elijah. And then at the end of it, there is a brook. Fresh water that is better than Dasani. He finishes his meat and his bread, and he goes and drinks the water. He was a comfortable guy. This is a guy who had arrived. This is the guy who didn't need anything. Lo and behold, the Bible tells us one day the brook did what? The brook dried. But I want you to see the hand of God in this case. God will supply your needs and my needs. And it doesn't matter what God is going to use. Because God used a raven. But there's a team here called Baltimore Ravens. There's a team. I know, I'm just pulling your leg, guys. We still have our Atlanta Falcons, and we don't talk about them that much after 23-3. The raven is the worst animal that you will ever send to carry meat. It doesn't. But here, look at God. God orders the raven to carry Nyamachoma to Elijah, and the raven delivers it untouched. Yes. It rings the bell if it was in your house. And you open. God is going to provide for your needs. It doesn't matter who he needs to use. It doesn't matter what situation you are in. Our God will provide as long as you just don't sit there. God, when God told Elijah to move, Elijah would have said, let me die with these guys. Let me see. In fact, he would have been a cheerleader to see, let me see them suffer. Now that there is going to be 3 years without rain, with no water. And you know what he was fighting against was King Ahab, who had married a foreign woman called Jezebel. And Jezebel had brought the worship of Baal. If you go to verse chapter 18, there is a lot of miracles that happened there. But there are two things I want you to remember. In the worship of Baal, those days, they worshipped up in the mountains. There were two things that the worship of Baal contained. It was a lot of human sacrifice and a lot of sexual activities that were taking place. So these were people that were so much dirty. Let me put it that way. There were people that really believed in what they lived for. They really could fight. And so all they did, Elijah could have said, let me sit here and see these people suffer. We have come and claimed our pews. But when God told Elijah to move, Elijah did not argue. Went, sat next to the brook, and the raven provided morning, afternoon. Morning, afternoon. And you see, the Bible told us that it was not going to rain for 3 years until I say so. That's what Elijah said. So I imagine it wasn't a year or 2 years or even probably three years and 10 months that Elijah sat at the brook. Everybody in Israel suffered. I'm going to come to this point of you sitting comfortably and sitting on somebody's blessing. So Elijah, God tells Elijah, move, get up and go. He goes, sits at the brook, everything is provided. And God uses the most unusual bird to provide the meat. You know what, my friends? I don't know what you're looking for. I don't know what you're desiring. But if you're faithful, if you are obedient, if you are a good follower of Christ, God is going to provide. Don't worry about the means. You see, the problem with us is when God tells you, I'm going to give you 1,000, like he told you, I'm going to give you 25,000. I don't know where this vision came from. I believe it was from God. He said, I'm going to give, you guys are going to raise 25,000. The problem with us is we are starting to wonder. Oh, and Lucas doesn't come every week, every month. And Cairo doesn't give that much. I'm just throwing, if you know, if I'm preaching and I know your name, I'm going to use it somehow. And so doesn't do what he's supposed to do. So we are wondering, how are we going to meet this? It's not your business. God is going to provide. God is going to do it. If he provided meat to Elijah through a raven, the bird that is known to eat meat very well, and it delivered for 3 years, God is going to meet your needs. You need to be seated where God wants you. Then God tells Elijah, after the Bible tells us that in a short while, the brook dried. As a good American, Elijah would have sat there and threw your feet. He would have told God, sasa hii kazi gani unafanya hapa. I mean, if it was me, we are having a conversation. You told me to say it's not going to rain. You provided for me. And then now the brook has dried. The raven has stopped bringing meat. What do you want me to do? Elijah, God tells Elijah, get up. Go. What does Elijah do? Gets up. Goes. So don't just sit there. You watched Denzel. That movie, John Q, is one of my favorite movies. This man, his son is sick. Comes sick, goes to the hospital. There is a long donors list. And then he's told, we want $70,000 to put your son on the donors list. Denzel did not just sit there. And I hope you notice the woman on the phone at one point was Denzel's wife. She's talking to him back and forth and pushing him. And then at one point she screams and says, do something! It's like, don't just sit there. And the moment that woman screamed that, too loud. Yeah, I'm sorry. The moment that woman screamed that, Denzel changed. He went, set up a yard sale, took the hospital hostage when things did not work. Because he had to do something. He could have sat with his wife at home and moaned and say, the system is too bad. This country we came to, and you know, you and I, each one of us, including me, has complained at one time about because we arrived. And all we do is say, Maisha ya America. Life here is so tough. I travel back and forth a lot to Kenya. And I'm telling you, the people in Kenya are wishing they were seated where you were seated. And you and I have become complainers. You and I have become people that are not appreciative of what God has given us. We arrived. Sat down, we don't see the opportunities that God has given us. When God told Elijah to move the second time, and he said, go to Zarephath, and you will meet this widow. Elijah followed the instructions, and God said, when you meet this woman, when he met the woman, the Bible tells us that he went on and told the woman, go, bring me glass of water. That's what the Bible says. You see, he starts very interestingly. He inches in. And the woman says, by the time the Bible tells us that when she started leaving, Elijah says, oh, by the way, as you bring the water, bake a bread and come with it. That's when the woman breaks the news. And says, the second time we see this phrase, as long as your God lives. Now she testifies about the God of Elijah. I am going home to make a cake or a bread, and my son and I can eat. And then we do what? We have given up. That is why we sit and complain all the time about our life in the United States. We sit here and all we do is life here, this and that. Yet there are some other people out there that are wishing they are seated where you and I are seated. I get this message every day. How can you help me to come to the U.S.? What can I do to be in the U.S.? And it is a very difficult situation, as we all know. But those of us that have been given this privilege, like you see Karo Motoko talking, be done with average. Why are you raising your standard just here? Why don't you aim for better things? Why don't you aim to even do better? Why don't you aim to live your life in a better standard? Because our God has said that he will provide regardless of what is going on in your life. He will provide regardless of what means he is going to. That's not your responsibility. When God tells you, I'm going to give you a car, when God tells you, I'm going to give you a house, when God tells you, I'm going to give you money, it is not your responsibility to find the means. God said it, and it is enough. So God has called us, but we have become pew warmers. Here you are celebrating 20 years since this chapter was started. I have been with KCFA, what, 15 of those, maybe, or even longer. Nine of those years I've been serving in the board. And we have come. What are we doing as KCFA Baltimore? See, something very interesting happened. When Elijah told the widow, go make bread and bring it, the woman has given up. The woman has no hope. She says, I'm going home. I have a little oil in the jar, little flour. I'm going to make bread and then my son and I will eat and die. What a bad situation to be in. You know, you may be seated there. Because what happened to that woman? When Elijah said, go, and she went and made the bread, the Bible tells us that the flour and the oil never ceased. You know, you probably are seated there sitting on somebody's blessing. Because you're just sitting there. Because you have refused to move. Elijah is told twice by God, move. And he moves. Because you are just seated there, enjoying the provision that God has provided for you. You are doing nothing about it. Denzel says, my son is going to bury me. I am not going to bury my son. And that is what I want us to refuse, living an average life. This may sound like, I don't know if I've ever preached what people call a prosperity message, and it is still not. I want you to claim your position in the kingdom of God. I want you to claim the blessings that God is telling you, this is what I'm going to do for you. Instead of sitting there when the brook dries, and complain and not move to where God has told you to move. When the brook dried, Elijah moved. When the hospital could not put Denzel's son in the waiting list, he took hostage of the hospital. I'm not saying be violent, but at the same time, there is a verse in the Bible that says the kingdom suffers violence and the violence take it. What is that you need to do that you're not doing? What is this that we are trying to raise? Money. Yet we sit here and wonder, are we going to do it? I'll be honest with you, this is very little money. Very little. We set up our goals. Cairo, Lucas, Ignatius. You see, I'm still looking for you down here. my brother, Patricia. Anybody who is making $15,000 and up, that is the lowest. That's what they call the poverty line, right, in the U.S. If you're making anything below that, you need help from the government. But anybody who's making above, and I know we are, I know we are, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you. Patricia, I'm going to put $500 in this thing. I am going to challenge you to go think, to move. Because this move, the reason I told you to move, yes, it is physical. You moved physically. But I want you to move spiritually. I want you to move financially. I want you to move relationship, in your relationship with your family, with your friends, with whoever you relate with. I want them to see a change. Because you are living in obedience to what God said. Be honest with you, I those who have worked with me at KCFA know I can fundraise at a moment, but I'm not going to do that. But I can sit here and look around. I don't know who has given what, but I can count 10 guys, 10 men, who I think can give $1,000 in the next 6 months towards this thing. And we will hit our goal. And I'm going to say this, Patricia. Call me, okay? In 3 months, if you will have hit 20,000, I'm going to put $1,000 in it. Because I believe we belong to a big God. And our God is going to provide regardless of what is going on. He is going to, and maybe you are raven this time, I may be providing you. No, God is going to use the most unusual situations. Ours is to move when he says move. Don't just sit there and look pretty and come here and claim a pew that when you don't show up on Sunday, we know you are not here. That is not what God has called us. That is not what God has called us for. We've been called to change. Wow. We've been called because we serve big God. Caro Mutoku is one of my favorite TV people. And she talks about this thing, average. That meeting, she was just talking to girls. You can go. But I took that clip where she talks about be done with average. Many years, KCFA Baltimore. 5,000. This is money you could have raised in one city. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Is your husband? Who is your husband, by the way? Ken, where is Ken? Okay. So I'm pointing at the people that I know. I can see. This lady can give us $1,000. You can give us $1,000, and we would. I just need 25. Is my math right? 25 people to give a oh my goodness. Be done with average. Because God is going to provide regardless of the situation. God is going to bring what you need at the right time. He provided for Elijah at the brook. When the brook dried, Elijah moves to Seraphim, and God used the most unusual situation. God used a very desperate woman to provide for Elijah. And then when this woman obeyed what God had called her or asked her to do, God provided for her enough until when it rained. So you may be seated there, sitting on your blessing. Sitting on somebody else's blessing because you have refused to move. We used to joke around. There is a song that we sing: on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is what? And then we joked around and say, all other ground is stinking sand. Still can be stinking if you're not standing on Christ. But we have refused to move. There's that song that I shall not be moved. We sing those songs and refuse to move even to the impulse of God's calling, of God's nudging, of God asking you to do what he needs to do so that this ministry can operate. Don't just sit there. So Carol talks to these girls and tells them, be done with average. God has opened great doors for us. And I'm telling you this, I know what I'm talking about. If there is a country where we have generous people, it's this country. I'm not asking you to go ask for money from Americans. But I want you to sit there for a moment. Who came here on a train today? Is there a train line around here? We all drove, right? And if we didn't drive, we were given a ride by somebody, right? In a car with four tires and a spare wheel and a GPS and an indicator. Did anybody come on top of a pickup truck? You think about those Christians in Kenya, that if it's a Sunday and we are going to church somewhere, we are all on the pickup. One driver, and we all came in our own space, and we are still complaining. And God has provided for us in such a huge, huge way. We are the same people who are wearing. I'm going to tell you, I bought this suit in K&G when they were selling buy one, get two free. I was quick to get in there when I saw that advertisement. Buy one at $199 and get two free. I went there, got myself a suit, and I have three suits for $199. Well, probably there were still suits that were $50 each, but the deal was so attractive. Think about the money we spend. Convert that kind of money that you and I spend on fast food, on the cars that we drive, on that car payment that you're making. God is calling you and I, saying, move. Do something. So Carol tells this girl, if we continue recycling this thing of being average, of being complainants, you know why the children of Israel went around the desert for 40 years? Because they didn't see the hand of God and where it was taking them. They became people who complained. And if honestly, I will lift up both of my hands. I am one of the best complainers about this country. And right now we are whining and complaining about Trump. And very angry about it. But we are still in a free country. Think about somebody. There is somebody who goes to bed in Kenya every night wondering, are we going to be attacked? Majority of Kenyans sleep like that. When was the last time you were worried if your house was going to be broken into at night here? Or even if you were worried about it, you knew it would take 911, and in 5 minutes, the police will be there. Our work, you and I, have become to sit down and complain about how life in America is so hard. And these are stories we can tell. When we came here, when we talk, I know these stories. I'm one of the people that give them in length. So I'm not just preaching to you. Of the things that we have gone through in this country. And I want you tonight to sit there and think about how many people are wishing they were seated in the seat you are seated on. I want to use those words of Denzel. Do something.
God is telling you to move. Move, because regardless of what is going to happen to you, He's going to provide. A young man felt a nudge to wake up one morning and head to church. He wondered, why is God pushing me this early to go to church today? So he woke up, left, went to church, and there was nobody apart from a lady at the corner wiping pews. The guy walked through those doors, sat at the corner, and the moment he saw the lady wiping the pews, he said, God, I know why you sent me here. He was an accountant. He was a guy with a very good job. He felt like it was my responsibility. It is my responsibility to help who? This lady. So as the lady kept wiping the pews, the guy went back to his car, pulled two bills of $50. It's $100. Put it in his pocket. By the time he got back there, the lady was about to finish wiping the pews. And he went to her and said, good morning. He describes her and says she looked like a very beautiful lady. She had a headscarf, but she looked like she needed some help. He said, I'm so glad you're doing this. The Lord woke me up and told me to come to church. After I got here, now I know why God asked me to be here. Gave the money to the lady, and the lady said no. Tried to squeeze it in her hand as they walked out of the church. And he's telling her, please accept it. This is why God gave me a nudge to come to the church this morning. And the lady kept saying, no. The guy did not realize. And then he asked the lady, did you drive or can I drop you at your house so that you will not be late for the service? The lady said, no. And the guy did not realize as they walked, the lady opened the door to a very fancy car. Looked at her, looked at the car, and he was like, huh? Left. Later he finds out this lady was a very well-to-do lady. She was doing something. Following Sunday, there were two people wiping the chairs. Because God nudged that man that morning to bring him to church to teach him humility. To teach him not to just think he's the best. Because a lot of us are doing things that we are not supposed to be doing, or things that people would think, I don't think Lucas needs to be sweeping the floor. I don't think Patricia needs to be greeting people at the door. I don't think Ignatius needs to be setting up equipment, because we feel like we are way up there. I said, following from that time on, there were two people that came to church every Sunday to wipe pews. Because God taught a lesson. My prayer tonight is that you are not just going to sit there. You're not going to listen to that GPS voice that tells you, I have arrived. Because regardless of the situation, the God of Elijah is going to provide. It doesn't matter what means he will use. I don't know if you noticed in the movie. Did you notice the girl who was in the accident? You've never watched that movie. The girl who got in the accident and her heart was, she was a donor. If you notice, the camera went straight into her hand, and then the next thing you see is a heart being put into. That girl was the white girl who was seated in the council telling Denzel, we need money. She was in the hospital. She worked in that hospital. So God is going to provide to you in means that you and I cannot understand. But are we going to become active? Are we going to be obedient? Elijah could have sat down and complained a lot and said, you told me to come and sit at the brook. and you will provide. Now the brook has dried. Now then you are telling me to move to Seraphith. What is this? Elijah did not. God is telling us, don't just sit there. God bless you.